Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church Enugu.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the presence of your Spirit that is evident here. Thank you that the name of Jesus Christ has and will be glorified. I dare for us that you grant utterance that I speak as your oracle, that your word comes forth with simplicity, but in accuracy and with power, that our hearts will be established in the grace of our Lord Jesus, and light will shine upon our path. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Let me thank Pastor Murphy and his wife for inviting me. I said in the morning, it's ironical, but this is the first time I have traveled to the East in all my life. Alright? And the funny thing is that my mother's two immediate junior sisters are married to Easterners. In fact, one of them was Commissioner of Finance for Imo State. Alright? So it's a great, I must tell her tonight that I have come in. Alright then. Okay then. Alright, let's turn our Bibles. Today I want to speak, since it's a faith seminar, I will speak on the subject of the prayer of faith. That is, how to offer up the prayer of faith, the prayer that produces results. How to pray to get results. That for us to understand that faith is the key to the power of God. And prayer is the way in which we turn that key to unlock God's power. So faith is essential to praying effectively. And I want to share what this faith is all about. In about an hour, we'll go through the principles and the steps to praying effectively, that's offering up the prayer of faith. This is the prayer that Jesus described in Mark 11:24. And he made it very clear that before you offer up this prayer, that your faith must be in operation. That is, when he spoke to the fig tree, and he came back 24 hours, and the fig tree had withered away. They asked Jesus that, Master, how did you get this done? And Jesus said, have the God kind of faith. What Jesus said was, have the God kind of faith, or have the faith of God. And what he went on to say was, whosoever shall say to this mountain, that let's even leave this fig tree. You see this massive mountain here, this in that is beyond the human reach to get it done. If you will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and that individual does not doubt in their heart, but that person believes what? Believes that what he is saying will come to pass. That he shall have whatsoever he is saying. So a man of faith understands that faith is beyond knowing that God has promised you something. Faith is beyond knowing that God, right, can do something. Faith gets to the point that it believes that what I am saying will come to pass. Which means that that which I do not say, I do not expect it to happen in my own life. That God might have promised it in the word of God. But the only things I open my own life unto are the things that I am saying out of my own lips. And what am I going to have in my life? I'm going to have the things that I have been seeing. That is, the person understands that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And that those that are making use of it, the Bible says those that love it are eating of its fruit thereof. That is, those that are making use of it are reaping the benefits of making use of their tongue. So it starts out in Mark 11:23 by saying, whosoever shall say. And then it goes in 24 and says, therefore. Which means that with this in operation in your life, that is, you understand the power of the spoken word. Therefore I say unto you, that whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, that believe you receive these things, we'll get into it, and you shall have them. So this is a person who is praying, alright, on the basis of certain things that they are saying. They understand that. And he says he shall have whatsoever he says. And then finally he said in 25, and when you stand praying about these things that you have been saying, if you have aught against any, and this is so important, he said, if you have any resentment in your heart against any person, if any person has offended you or rubbed you up wrongly, and the thing is still in your heart, when you are praying about those things that you are seeing, release that clutch and let that person go. It says, because if you don't release that, it will affect the flow of God's power into your life. Now, Kenneth Hagin of blessed memory said something that is so powerful about this. And I just want to drop the thought here. He said, I cannot categorically tell you, right, that this is the only sin that blocks the flow of God's power. He said, but I can categorically tell you that this is the only sin that Jesus mentioned when it came to getting results through the prayer of faith. The only thing he said you must get rid of when you pray is if you have aught against any. Which means while you are praying for those things, open your heart. Let that person go. Pray for that person also, that that person will be blessed by God. He said, because that is the very thing, right? And this is what Satan does. The minute he knows God is bringing something into your life, all he wants to do is to trip you up on the issue of taking offense in something that somebody has said or done. Knowing that if you are offended inside your heart about it, he has a legal ground to block the flow of power. So it is important that when we are praying, and you do this every day, that you make sure the sun doesn't go down on your anger. Every day as we interact in life, people rub us up wrongly. We go to work, people make side comments, give gestures, right? Act in some cases in disrespectful ways. It is important that the next time you are praying or get into your time of prayer, you search your heart, and if there is any such offense there, that you open up your heart and you quickly let it go so that it doesn't take root on the inside and become a root of bitterness. And the Bible says by this, many have fallen short or failed in the grace of God. Like the pastor said, he said, through grace we are saved by faith. Everything that we receive through, alright, the grace of God. That is, it has been given to us not based on our own personal labor or effort, but it's based on the sacrifice of Jesus for us. And so we cannot violate that blood. He wasn't only wounded for our own transgressions, he was wounded for the transgressions of everybody. He wasn't just bruised for our own iniquities, he was bruised for the iniquities of other people. So he is a substitute, as the Bible says, for the sins of the entire world. And we have got to honor the blood when we stand in the place of prayer. Because what happens is, when you hold in unforgiveness, your spiritual, the organ that you receive, clutches that thing. And when you forgive, you open. And the minute you open, you are able to receive it. That is an entire message that we can preach. If I'm doing a series on that in church right now. Alright? That is very important. And I'll just give a testimony that somebody sent to me last week. And I just shared on that. About us eating the unleavened bread, that there is no malice or offense inside our heart. And I read a testimony of somebody I read in the 1920s. He was crippled, 13-year-old boy, crippled. And when his mother took him to the doctor when he was 13, he overheard the doctor say something. In the conversation with his mother said, "What will you do if it was your son?" He said, the doctor said, "Woman, I had a child who had this disease. And my son died." And said, "There is no known cure to humanity. I searched as a doctor to find the solution to this problem. I could not." Then she looked at him and said, "But if it's your child today, what will you do?" He said, "I will fight. And I tell you, keep fighting. And just keep fighting." And the boy heard that. And the boy went out and wrote out a declaration of faith about him being whole, complete, and totally well. But as I was reading it, I saw something he said. He said, "Not only did I make these confessions for myself, I also saw other people that were in need. And I started declaring the same things into their lives." He said, "It didn't take long that I, a young boy who was on the creeping on my feet there and on my knees to move around, was a straight, whole, sound man." He said, "This is the practice that will open up the way to power." And I explained that that's what it means to eat the unleavened bread for 7 days, that the thing might pass over. To make sure there is no leaven in your heart when things are going on, that that light affliction might produce an eternal weight of glory. That the reason why things don't turn around in people is that when negative things are happening, they get offended in the people that participate in those things. And it's that offense that attaches you to the past, where it says, "Purge out that leaven and you'll be a new lump. Something new will happen." And this lady wrote me after, a week after. She said she had had a lymph node there, her lymph node was swollen. And that she had been struggling to eat from October last year. And then having listened to the message, she got into the place of prayer. She said while she was praying, she had these confessions that she was making for herself. And that three people, one lady in the office had offended her deeply. And she decided, she wrote it there, to eat the unleavened bread concerning that. To remove every malice out of her heart towards her. And she started declaring good things into her life. She said she also sought for the other people in her heart that had rubbed out wrongly. And she started making declarations. She said 45 minutes after practicing this, she felt it burst inside her. And she got suddenly hungry. She went and sat down and ate. And for the first time in months, food went through without feeling any pain. She said, "This is the truth of God's word." Let me tell you, one gateway to power is that those who have done things to you that naturally you feel resentful towards them, if you get home tonight, the blessings that you are declaring into your own life, start declaring it into their lives. If you can successfully do that, I tell you, this earth will open up to you and give you something within a short period that you weren't even expecting will happen within your life. So let's quickly move on here. So make sure, alright, there is nothing inside your heart there. Very important. James said, when you pray, the only reason is because there are fightings and wars amongst you. And that's why people do not receive. So when we look at Romans chapter 10, let's look at this statistics here. It says in verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire, alright, and my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." This is what Paul was saying. He said, "Brethren, my prayer to God and my heart's desire is that Israel, that they might be saved." He said, for I bear them record. So Paul was praying, alright, for the nation of Israel, for their salvation. He said, "My heart's desire." Remember Jesus said, whatever things you desire when you pray. He said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He said, for I bear them record, number three, that they have a zeal for God. He said, when I look into their lives, I bear them record that they actually have a zeal for God. He said, but the problem is that this zeal is not according to knowledge, which means they are very zealous for God, but he said they don't have a certain knowledge. It is not according to knowledge. So even though they are zealous and doing several things, there is a knowledge that they do not have. There is something that is not operational in their lives. There is something that they do not know. He said, and that's why all of my prayer over them was not producing results. There is a knowledge that they simply do not have. And what we want to talk about is this knowledge. That if prayer is being offered and a person is not getting results, my friend, it is this knowledge that they are ignorant of. Where Paul went on and said, being ignorant of God's righteousness. That's the next verse there. Well, read it. So the knowledge he was talking about was this righteousness. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, which means they are ignorant of something, and it is the righteousness of God. We remember in Romans 1:16, it says, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. He says, for therein, the reason why it's God's power is that therein is the righteousness of God revealed. That inside it, you have the revelation of the righteousness of God. So he said they are ignorant of this righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to this righteousness. It's almost like, literally in life, alright, a zealous person, God says, I want you to go from Enugu to Port Harcourt and put a car out there. And if you are, he says, I want you to go with that car. And if you are ignorant of God's righteousness, you start pushing the car to Port Harcourt. Not knowing that you are to enter, start the car, and the engine of the car takes you to Port Harcourt. Are you following what I'm saying here? So Christianity, even though you people are zealous, it becomes a very difficult thing. Because you are trying to push the system instead of allowing the system to push you. You are trying to move it instead of allowing the thing to move you. And let me tell you the truth about this. Once you understand God's system, and you switch it on over a period of time, it becomes as difficult as it was to start the system. It becomes as difficult to stop that system from flowing in your life. Which means that when a pilot is taxiing with a plane, there is the law of gravity that is at work. He's going, moving it. Once he takes off and surmounts it, and he gets to that cruising level, he can leave the plane and walk around, because he is no longer driving the plane. The plane is now driving him. There are certain things that you can do. I want to discuss this. That you break into a realm that literally is far above principalities and powers. Are you following what I'm saying? Let me just touch on this. Once Kenneth Hagin spoke about this. He said he went to pray for a person on a robot clinic. Called the city there, the city of faith, he went to pray for a person in their healing center. And while he was praying in the spirit, the young man was in coma. He was praying in the spirit. Praying in the spirit before he went to lay hands on the man. He said he heard these words in his heart. Words have been spoken. Spiritual laws have been set into motion, which at this time cannot be reversed. This man's spirit is better off within in heaven. Release him and let him go. He said he continued. He heard again, words have been spoken. And as he listened, spiritual laws have been set into motion, which means by speaking words, you can set spiritual laws into motion. And he said he now understood that you can set them into motion to a point that they cannot be reversed by anybody. He said, even the prayer I wanted to offer, God was saying, you can't reverse what has happened. Release him and let him go. He said he released him. He said he went there and laid hands and said, I release you, and left. A day after the young man died, he didn't understand what God was saying. He said that on the way to the funeral service, he did not tell anybody. He said the younger brother of the man, after they had done the funeral service, they turned back and they were going back. And the younger brother said, the irony of it is this. Since we were young, from the age of 12, my brother kept telling me, I think I will die on or before 40. He said he said this for years. He said his 40th birthday is in a week's time. Then he realized words have been spoken. Spiritual laws have been set into motion. Are you following what I'm saying here? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I want to share something here. Well, it's good to be a Liverpool fan today because of what happened. Because of what happened yesterday. But, you know, the last time we won the Champions League, alright, was almost 2005. I think I saw them carrying to the stadium yesterday, a banner. And after that match, 2005, alright, they played in 2005 after the match. Don't worry, I found it. 2005. And we won the Champions League. And I'm an observer, although while we were playing the match, I put up the TV because if you remember the match, 3-0 down first half. It was all over. So I put on the TV after some time, I put it on to check what was going on. I saw it was 3-1, put it off. Even yesterday, right, the truth about the match, 89th minute, I put up my TV, I went to sit down, I opened my Bible and I saw a call coming in. And it was a friend of mine who is an Arsenal fan. But it was, I knew that this was about the, so I knew he's either wanting to make fun of me or he's saying something. So I picked the call and he said, are you watching the match? I said, you've just called. I ran downstairs, put the thing on again, and that was the last minute free kick Dortmund was about to take. I put it up again. I can't take this. And then I put it on after we were done. So I put it on for the match, put it off, 3-2, put it on, put it off, 3-3. And then put it on penalties, put it off before they finished. And then put it on, I saw them running and I was happy. So, but here is the issue here. I started listening. Just to try to find out what really happened here. Because AC Milan then had the world-class player man to man. So they called our coach, Rafael Benitez. And on Sky Sports, they put the mic there. And they said, sir, what do you think happened here? What will you attribute to your victory? Hear what he said. He said, I've thought about it. And I cannot find how we won. I will say luck, I will say this. He said, but I was just on my phone with my wife 2 minutes ago. And she just mentioned to me that from the first day we met and we started dating, I told her I will win the Champions League on or before 45. And she reminded me that we'll be 45 next week. Hear what I'm saying. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I have a friend when we were in school, while he's walking down the road on University of Lagos, he will be saying, before I am 30 years old, I will be a multimillionaire. One day he called. He said, I have $200,000 in America to spare. Does you know anybody that needs it? I need naira if he wants dollars. I realized that what he was saying, walking around the University of Lagos, had come to pass. Are you following what I'm saying? You can speak words that will make your life take off. You see that taxi in there? They are words. You are saying those words. It seems like the law of gravity is still holding on to you. After some time, your life begins to take off. You keep speaking. You get to a point that, as they say, this physical law, that, you know, a body will remain in state of rest or uniform motion unless compelled. Listen, you will need to force yourself to go down. The same way it was difficult to go up, you now will have to force yourself to come down. But it's the power of words. You can speak words to a point where there is no change in the environment that can affect your own life. So Paul said, they were ignorant of this righteousness. And he was praying, And let me just say two things about prayer here. Against this. You know, when I just got born again, there was a part of the scripture that I will read. And when I get there, I will skip it. Because I said, God, it seems you are partial here. And I can't explain this for you. So I will jump that part. And I'll continue reading. So one day I was bold enough and I started to say, God said, all scriptures are self-explanatory if you read it long enough. So I started reading. And here was my problem. My problem was that something happened to Mary and something happened to Zechariah. An angel Gabriel came to Zechariah and the same angel Gabriel came to Mary. When that angel appeared, Zechariah and Mary reacted the same way. Because the angel had to say, fear not. So they were like, fear not. Calm down. Then he explained what was coming to pass in their lives. And essentially it was the same thing. Which means you both, the son is coming, and describe the ministry of your sons. The reaction of Mary and Zechariah were the same. Zechariah said, how can these things be? Seeing we're well stricken in years. Mary said, how can these things be? Seeing I know no man. Then the problem started. For Zechariah, judgment came. You will not speak. For Mary, the teaching ministry came. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee and the power. I said, God, why did you judge one and teach another? What's going on here? He said, read it well now. So I looked well. Then I realized. Mary did not. She was staying by herself. When the angel came and said, thou art highly favored. She wasn't asking for a child. For Zechariah, when the angel came, the angel said, your prayer has been answered. If you knew you were well stricken in years, why were you praying? Now, what I'm trying to tell you is that there are many people who are doing the motion of prayer, but the faith that unlocks it is not there. Then he showed me another scripture where a prayer chain was formed by the whole church. The Bible says Herod took James and beheaded James. And then took Peter when he saw the people were happy and said, we'll kill Peter. What saved Peter was that there was a public holiday. So he said, which is what we call Easter Passover. He said, by Monday, after the public holiday, we will kill him. The scripture records that prayer was made for Peter without what season. So all the people were there in one room, Margaret, prayer chain, 5 to 6, 6 to 7, 7 to 8, brother, 9 to 10. Who would take 11 to 12? Me. Who would take 12 to 10? Me. This is why you mustn't leave your prayer to the hands of people. And everybody took and they were praying. And Peter was released. Peter came to where they were praying and started knocking. Rhoda, and I believe it's that late young girl's faith that saved Peter. Rhoda heard the knock, and I will explain something. Because when the answer to your prayer comes, it always says a knock on the door of your heart. I will explain it. And he started knocking. And Rhoda heard the voice of Peter. And Rhoda went in to go and tell them that Peter was there. Never try to convince people about what you heard from heaven with words. Open the door of that revelation and take the fiscal answer with you. Because when she got there and said, I heard Peter's voice, the people that were praying, Magay, Legre, Lord, Gabriel, Peter, Mandesha, we bind that spirit of death, Nakapoya, said to Rhoda, thou art man. Meaning that Megeto, we know the man is gone. Jean Pepalaya is a dead man. Grito Soso. Lord, let it not be me next. Natobala. Do you know the Bible says then she constantly affirmed that it was Peter? They said, then it is his ghost. This is prayer meeting, no? They said, we know Herod. He has killed him. It is his ghost. So the fact that you are Magitosho doesn't mean you are connecting to heaven. There is a knowledge you must have. Are you following what I'm saying here? Without this knowledge, alright, you don't, it's also like beating the air. I was a day I was watching football, the Nations Cup, African Nations, I think 2010 in South Africa. Semi-finals, and South Africa was playing, I think, Congo. And they got penalty shootout. And the South African coach came to the touchline and lifted his hand up and began to speak in tongues. And the commentator said, this man seems to be a man of God. He seems to start consulting the higher powers to save him from this. And I saw he was born again from the tongue. You could see that. I said, we're in trouble here. Now, we have been put on public display. Everybody watching will feel him. Let us see whether God will hear his prayer. And I knew the knowledge of righteousness. And inside me, I knew that this thing won't go. And I'll show this. Because the Bible says, how can they believe except they have heard? How can they hear without a preacher? Which means the man that knelt down to call upon the name of the Lord, ask him, which preacher did you ever hear that taught you something that guaranteed that as you knelt down there, South Africa will score and Congo will not score? Answer, he cannot. The woman with the issue of blood heard. The woman with the issue of blood heard. Based on what she heard, said, if I will touch his garment, but she heard something. You cannot operate in faith without hearing God's word on that matter. And after he spoke in tongues, they started. Congo scored 4. South Africa, nothing. It is not a failure of prayer. There is an ignorance of what is called the righteousness of God. And let me say this about answer to prayer. Let me just drop this as we go on. That in answer to prayer, the same way Peter came to the gate and was knocking. Are you following what I'm saying? The answer to your prayer, Jesus said, I will come. And I will knock on the door of your heart. And whoever opens, he said, I will come in and serve him. And there are times where people will pray and people will look on the outside. Remember when God said he was coming? And the prophet said God will be here. Let's say 12 noon on Saturday. And there was the great wind. Jesus started blowing. God was not in it. Earthquake, everything. God was not in it. But God was in this small, still voice. And it's in this small, still voice that we have the manifestation of answer to prayer. A friend of mine, when we were in school, we used to be spiritual partners, very good friends. He was the only child of his parents. His mother had told him since he was young, please get married and have a lot of children. You know, you are the only one I have. So I want you to have a lot of grandchildren. He finished at 21. The mother said, marry. He said, listen, I've not found pressure. He said, okay, have children. He said, we are born again. So there was pressure. Finally, he got married. When he got married, his wife took him. She had a serious complication. They had to remove the fetus. Her tubes were destroyed. The doctor said, your chance of conceiving 2%. You know, when they just say 2%, it's just to say something. In other words, it is not possible. Because they can say 0%, so they don't say 2%. But in other words, it is not possible. And so what happened? Alright? What happened? He had to relocate to England because the pressure was mounting. So after 9 years and 8 months, his wife conceived, they had a child. Now, you know, when you say stories like that and say after 9 years and 8 months, sometimes it is not good. Because I did an interview with him. And when you say after 9 years, he said, oh, praise the Lord. But somebody else who had just started and believing God, when they hear 9 years, 8 months, the devil tells them, you heard? You'll be here 13 years. Wait. So you have to be careful when people testify that you did. So I asked him, I said, it took you 9 years and 8 months. But honestly, what was the thing that you did that tipped it? I said, I can understand you prayed, you fasted, you confessed. Yes, but what tipped it? What tipped it? Because there's always something you adjust that makes it work. It's not time. It is an adjustment. The Bible tells us that God is not slack. He's just waiting for you to repent. The one word repent means to change something you are doing. Just an adjustment. The lady in church who got healed of HIV, when I was listening to her, there was just one adjustment she made. Said she had been praying, believing, praying every time positive. She said, this time when I went for the test and they said positive, she said, I decided for the first time I would not tell my husband, they said positive. Because every time I tell him and I'm bad, he will encourage me, and I realized that I was depending on that encouragement to feel better, not on the spoken word of God. She said, so I didn't tell him. He traveled for work and I was happy. I now sat at home and told myself I would deal with this thing by myself. I began to confess the word. She said, then I put on music and started dancing unto Jesus. I sang, I confessed. She said, on Tuesday I went back. I said, do a test. Said they redid the test. She looked at it. She didn't even take the test. She said she got home. Something had happened inside her. She put it down and started eating. When she finished it, then she opened it. And they said non-reactive, non-reactive, non-reactive. And this was bad. Said she didn't understand what non-reactive was. She called the doctor. When they say non-reactive HIV, what does it mean? It means that there is no trace of the thing. It's not reactive. She said, what do you mean? She said, it means that person doesn't have any HIV there. Said she knew she had broken it. Went for another test, non-reactive, non-reactive, non-reactive. But what was the adjustment? She will go home, cry. The husband will encourage. She will feel better. But that wasn't a phase transition. The Bible says if you're thirsty, it says, come unto me. He that believeth out of your own belly shall flow rivers of living water. For the first time, she turned it on. So I asked this gentleman, I said, what did you do? Do you know we had finished the testimony program until I questioned him again? He said, I remember. So people can tell testimonies without touching the issue. And let me tell you something. If you ever go anywhere, you hear anybody share and you feel bad. Maybe they say, well, you know, this is how we succeeded. And you feel bad. Which means your own chance of succeeding are reduced by this person's testimony. No, you've not been like, you've not heard of that. Alright? Like Bishop T. Drake said, you'll go for minister's conference. The man will stand to start preaching and say, well, when we started a ministry, proof that God called us. First service, we 100 within 6 months. He said, he had been at it for 7 years. And for him, when they ask how many are in your church, he will say 32. With that, he has counted adults, children, and then the one still in the womb. To make 32. So he leaves that place wondering whether God called him. Not knowing what to do next to get to... Are you following what I'm saying here? So sometimes, because success is so powerful, that it erases the memory of failure. The Bible says when you give birth to the man child, you forget the sorrow. So sometimes the details you have forgotten. So I asked him, he said, oh, I see what happened. I said, what happened? He said, one day I was driving in London. Small steel bus. He said, and I saw a woman in trouble across the road. He said, and then I decided, let me help her. He said, no, I felt a nudge to help her. He said, I just said, let me go on. Let me just go on. No time for the Holy Spirit to tell something. Look, we are busy. That's what I'm talking. Said I got to the next traffic light, the nudging got stronger. I moved on. When I got to the next one, it was stronger. I turned around. Said I picked her up. When she entered, she said, in all my years in England, I've never seen anybody that will do what you did. Park, run, go through the rain, come and help me, cold everything. She said, where are you from? He said, Nigeria. She said, well, she's from Somalia. Said, where are you from in Nigeria? I told her. Said, yeah, my husband is from that same place. So just asked her, so how was the relationship? Said, well, we're in court. We're divorcing. Said, why? So she started telling her what the man does. And he understood that a man from his village, that this is the way they think. So he explained to her that no, it's not what you're thinking. That this is what he's saying. And after he explained, she said, you know, I now understand it better. Well, to cut the long story short, 5 months after they saw again, and he said, oh, how are you? She jumped, thank you so much. What happened? She said, what you said helped. I practiced it and we are back together. No more divorce. And he was going. God bless you. She said, one more thing. He said, what? She said, that day, after we got reconciled, I was so happy that I decided to pray for you. He said, so what's the issue? He said, I hope I'm not going into wrong ground. He said, what are you trying to say?
She said, you know, I've seen you around with your wife. I've not seen both of you with a child. Said, and so what? Said, so that night, I knelt down and said, God, if they have been believing for a child, grant it unto him based on what he has done. He said, when did you offer this prayer? She said, 5 months from today. He said, why? He said, because my wife is pregnant 5 months. So, sometimes is that small still voice. Remember, Peter told all night, caught nothing. The door to the miracle was that Jesus said, lend me your boat. In the midst of struggling and not getting results, somebody is asking again for help. That is what opened up the door. The widow there at Zarephath, having just little, what opened the door? Somebody said, give me to eat. What will open up the door for that miracle is while you are in need, out of your need, you stretch your hand to help somebody. In doing that, that's why Jesus said, do not play as the heathen. What you are supposed to do, take from what you have and go and give alms. By doing that, you are providing. So when you hear this small still voice to help somebody, respond to it. So let me get into this. So it says, they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness that is of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness unto all that believe. Verse 5, Romans 10. For Moses describeth the righteousness that is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith, notice the difference. The righteousness that is of the law, Moses described it by saying, the man that doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith that they were ignorant of, speaketh on this wise. One says, you will live by these things you are doing. Another says, speak on this wise. Are you following what I'm saying? So what Paul was saying was that we're trying to pray things into the lives of zealous people that their words forbid. What they were saying about their lives, what they were declaring about themselves, what they were saying were the things that were going on around them that were holding them in bondage. And they were not saying the things that were consistent with the power of God. So he says, say not in your heart, who shall ascend to heaven? Or who shall descend into the deep? That is, who shall ascend? Which means, what he says literally here, is that don't begin to say that God, you know, if you will just, alright, who will ascend to heaven? Your power is in heaven. Who will ascend there and bring Christ again into the earth? Or who shall descend? That is, Christ was once on the earth. To say who shall, that is a thinking that was before Jesus Christ. That who shall ascend and bring Christ? Then some people, they said, it's not about who shall descend into the deep to bring Christ back again. He said, this is Christ in your life. The word is nigh thee, in your mouth and in your heart. He said, this is the word of faith that we preach. That you don't need it to go and bring Christ on the scene physically again. Christ comes on the scene of anybody's life if the word is in the mouth of that person and the word is in the heart of that person. Remember, the Roman centurion was not a Jewish person. And he gave us the formula of how the blessings will get to the Gentiles. Jews, alright, they went to meet Jesus, the elders, and said, he has built us a synagogue, he loves the nation. Jesus said, I will come into his house and heal him physically, his servant. As Jesus was coming physically to the house of this man. Physically. Can you think of that? Jesus is coming to your house to come and do it. You tell Jesus. Listen. You said let Jesus come. You heard Jesus is on his way. For you to tell Jesus stop means that Jesus, there's another way you can do it. Do you understand what we're saying here? Jesus is already on his way to your house. You say, Jesus, don't bother the master. Don't bother the master. Jesus said, what did he say? He said, speak the word only, and your physical presence is not needed in my house. That where the spoken word is, you are there in power. He said, speak the word only. Do you know Jesus turned around? He said, knowing the whole of Israel, I have not seen faith like this. He said, since I've been doing ministry, I've not seen this kind of faith. He said, speak the word only. And I'm telling you this. No matter how bad a situation is, if you speak the word only, I'm not saying you say the word and say something else. I'm not saying in church you declare it to be well. When you go out, you oscillate. Understand this. Demonic operations do not want to make you cold. Demonic operations want to make you lukewarm. Because he said if you are hot, be hot. If you are cold, at least we know you are cold. We can save you. But when you are lukewarm, you think you are doing the right thing, but you are doing enough wrong things to negate the right thing. That's why when the prophet came, he said, why do you halt between two opinions? If God be God, if Baal, which means what Baal does is to make you think God, then think seven, think God, and then think, which means you are wavering. So he said, you can't speak the word and say, my business is going, and then tomorrow. He said, this APC people. Are you following what I'm saying? Today, you are saying, God is great. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Then you read the paper. Can you see why business is down? These people, they just do things to ruin your business. But you have said, God is my only source. I'm seated together far above principalities and powers. Listen, let me give you the key. Anytime you see any evil thing, let me tell you the secret. You see any evil reports in the papers. You see, no, I'm fine. You see any evil reports in the papers. You see anything anywhere. You know what you should do? The Bible says, at destruction and famine, thou shalt laugh. Job 5:22. Before you even start praying, the scripture says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The king said themselves, let us break the bands and cut their thunder. The scripture says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Now, you say, but that is God. Yes, it is God. But you are seated together with Christ in heavenly places. It says, anybody who is in heavenly places, when you bring bad reports, their first reaction is laughter. He said, after you finish laughing, then shall he speak to them in his wrath. And then he said, ask of me. So laugh, speak, then pray. Are you following what I'm saying? When they bring it and say, we made a mistake, your bill is not 550,000, it's 5.5 million. Put it down. I'm telling you what works. The Bible says that the foolishness, the things of God, the carnal man cannot receive the things of the Spirit because they are foolishness. Anything that is the wisdom of God is foolish to man. To look at a bill and start laughing, you say this is absolute foolishness. I'm saying it is pure power. When they came against Hezekiah, the first thing they, Paul said, go and laugh at him to scorn. I heard Roy Hicks, General Vassia of Foursquare in the 70s. He said, there is nothing that irritates Satan. He said, we have proven that even if you praise, he said, laughing at him irritates him even more than you are singing. When you start laughing, he disappears. You get a man to start talking and let the boy start laughing at him, he will stop. You say, why are you laughing? Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah? Start doing a presentation. Well, what we're saying here is that, and everybody's laughing at you in the boy. You will stop. Listen, if you don't want to hear anything I'm talking about again, I will leave this place. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah? Laughing demoralizes. The spirit that is sent to you gets demoralized, returns, and says, that one, I'm not going there. When you do anything, he fosters laughing at you. He will be laughing and laughing and laughing. What he wanted to do is to provoke him. He was laughing at us. He laughed and laughed. Then what happened? He slept off. He didn't even worry. Then he woke up with confessions. So speak the word only. He said, and my servant shall be healed. You know what he said? He told the Jews, he said, this is how people will come from far. You will be cast into outer darkness because you don't know this principle. And this is what he was talking about. The principle of the spoken word. That you, and I'm going to close here, will be cast, alright, into darkness. And they will come and sit at the table with Abraham, with Isaac, and Jacob. Feeding on things. Because they understand the power of the spoken word. So he goes on and says, let's take a look at this. It says, for if thou shalt confess, verse 9, with the mouth of the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart a man believes unto what? Righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto what? Salvation. Now let's repeat that. With the heart a man believes unto what? Righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11 says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. What does that mean? A person has a bill to pay in 6 weeks' time. The landlord says, in 6 weeks, I need my 600,000, or I'm going to throw your luggage out. On the door of his house, he has put, givers never lack. Follow me as I follow Christ. The other neighbors are not Christians. They've seen it. Sticker on the car. Greater is he that is in me than he that is there. They've seen you come back Friday night in the morning. Please move your car. Where are you going to? We're going for vigil. Vigil, vigil. They've knocked sometimes. Please, could you turn down your music? Because you are, listen, I'm praising my God. 6 weeks, the landlord is coming for money. It says, whosoever believes will not be ashamed. That word ashamed means his nakedness will not be seen. So you have 6 weeks for your nakedness not to be seen. Because when the landlord comes, come on, what are you talking about? Tell them to bring my money. Huh? Other people come out. Pastor. Because that's when they start calling you pastor. 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 Say, close the door, close the door. Nakedness is being revealed. Bible says, he that believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So if people's nakedness are being seen, then they don't believe. What they are calling I believe is not what Paul is saying here. What they are describing as believe is not what Paul is talking about here. Because he says, whosoever believes on him shall never be ashamed. He now goes on and says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all those that call. Rich means anybody that calls upon the name of the Lord. It's not that he will just answer. He's rich. He will do exceedingly abundantly above what you have asked. So you will not be ashamed. He said, Paul said number two, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, he said, God will be rich towards that person. And then he goes on and finally says, here, he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Now what we have thought is to call on the name of the Lord means, in a situation, say, Jesus, help me. That's to call on the name of the Lord. That's why I say we should read that scripture. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. And then it says, with the heart a man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confessions are made unto salvation. So to call on the name of the Lord is to make a confession. It's not saying, yeah. Sometimes that yeah, Jesus is fear. It's not faith. God is not faith. It's, we are sinking. It's even as a declaration. You know, sometimes you hear a shout. Say, what's the problem? That is a shout of fear. You hope, what's the problem? Hope all is well. So you know, even the friend said, God, you know that I've lost control of the situation. It says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now it now gives us the order. And don't forget what I want to close with here. Because with this, if you understand it, you get in the top 1%. This is what we don't know. It says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not what? Believed. It says, how shall they believe in whom they have not what? Heard. Which means, except you hear something, you have heard something, you don't believe. Anybody that believes that the cancer in this person will be healed is because they've heard something that brought them to that conclusion. It is not that I know God just has power. They've heard something. The woman with the issue of blood heard something. Then the next thing is, how shall they hear without a what? Preacher. Which means somebody has preached it. Somebody has taught it. Somebody has written it in a book that you have read. Then it concludes by saying one of the most powerful statements. How can they preach except they be what? Sent. You know, Jesus said, were there not many widows in Zarephath? But only, sorry, in Israel, but only to the widow in Zarephath, Elijah was sent. Let me tell you this. I'm preaching to all these people here. The truth is, I might be sent to 20. Everybody is hearing me, but some people are hearing me. Now I want to give you the secret to having people sent to you. Every Sunday morning, you should pray, or even before the Sunday, that your pastor be sent to you. If you offer that prayer anytime he preaches, whatever you are going through in your life, he will say something and you'll get that word. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Jesus said, they said, before you say, physician, heal yourself. He said, my ministry will only work for those who I'm sent to. Those who are sent to, that's why he says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he might send. It is with prayer you get the sending. When the children of Israel groaned, God came down and said, I am now sending you, Moses. God only sends in answer. But you must understand this. A lot of people are praying. And I pray. Remember, it says, though he gives the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, he said, he will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry when he will hear it. He says, your eye will be opened. Your eye will see your teacher. And your ears will hear a word behind thee. This is the way to go. Walk here in it. So when you are faced with an issue, go to God in prayer. I need somebody to be sent to me. This service I'm going for, I need. And I told people, let me tell you, when we're preparing for Wabek, I said, let me tell you what you do. Secure it. There are many anointed men. We have gotten results. Some of those ministers have told me they have not gotten this kind of results anywhere they preached, including their ministry. Because I told the people before they came, this is what you do. Offer a prayer for 3 weeks that when this man starts talking, he talks to me. Somebody saw me on Thursday after service, before I came here Friday morning. He said, Pastor, I want to tell you something. My wife had a baby last week in America. I said, well, is that not really, what's the testimony here? He said, the fact is that when she conceived, we went to the doctor, one of the biggest hospitals here in Lagos, and they said, the child is deformed. What they were trying to say is that you have an option to abort. Has Down syndrome. They said, we decided to carry on with our faith. The only reason why they made that decision was some things that they heard. So they started confessing. He said, when we got to Wabek, one of the ministers got up, and while he was teaching, he spoke about how the doctor said his child, son, was diagnosed with the same thing he was going through. That is, he has been sent to that person. The minute he started hearing that, he knew God has answered me. God is about to tell me what I should do. Follow this testimony. To me, I heard that story. It was when he was saying it that I recalled. But that wasn't what connected with me. His own prayer pulled it. He even got to a point where Winston got up and said, somebody's pulling something. That is why, when that woman touched Jesus, Jesus said, somebody has touched me. Even the apostles didn't know it. They said, can't you see people thronging? He said, no. Somebody has made contact. Because virtue and power has gone. So the woman with the issue of blood was doing something to make contact with it. And he's saying here, that's why I said, the man that knelt down, I wanted to ask him, before you go and be a successful coach, you say, okay, I want to coach as a Christian. Go to God and say, I need the words on what to believe so that I can operate with this word. So, you pray. And when you pray, they are sent to you. They preach, you hear. Okay? And when you're operating that way, you are different. So let me close what he now said. So it goes on. Verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, break glad tidings of good things. But they have all not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So Isaiah said, this is what Paul was saying. He said, we preached. Our voice went into all the air. If you are saying it's by preaching, our voice went into all the air. How come we did not get results? Paul said, here is the conclusion. And don't ever forget this. This is what I came to say today. Paul said, so then, faith cometh by hearing. And he says, hearing cometh by the word of God. You say, what was he saying? Paul moved that word. When he said the word is nigh thee, it was the Logos. When he came here, he said, faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes by the Rhema of God. Now, let me tell you how people have defined Rhema in the past. We've defined it as a specific word God gives to a specific person in a situation. So a person says, oh, I've received the Rhema from God. When he reads the Bible and the scripture jumps out, says, I've received the Rhema. That is the Logos, which is quick and powerful. That's the word quickened, is the Logos. The Rhema, the word quickened to you, only becomes a Rhema when it is coming out of your lips. Which means, Paul said, so then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing that comes when you say it out of your mouth. So when they have preached to you, you've heard it. But when you start declaring it, that's when that faith to get results starts coming. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. Listen, there's what you call your outer ear, and there's what you call your inner ear. If you've ever sang, you can ask singers or people that preach or talk. If they record your voice and play it back, you'll say it's not me. You know you say that? No. In fact, let me tell you the truth. Anytime I'm in the car and they're playing my message, I put it off. Because I don't like to hear... What? No, change it. Change. They say, what? No, change it. I don't like the way I sound to my... Do you know what the issue is? Let me tell you why. When you play it out of a tape or from the speakers, I am hearing with my outer ear. Anytime you speak, you are hearing with your inner ear. He said, faith cometh by hearing. That hearing is what your inner ear hears. And what your inner ear hears is what you are saying out of your mouth. So he said, anybody that will get results must take what the preacher said that resonated and start saying it in order to hear it. When you hear it from your own mouth, he said, now, one day I met with a doctor. He said, well, what you have said is correct. He said, because we can tell you in medical practice, the outer ear is for hearing, and the inner ear is for balance. Which is, a person loses balance, if you, something happens to your inner ear, you can lose your balance. Gets punctured, infected and all of that, it can affect the way you walk. So you know what? when the Bible says Abraham staggered not, he kept his balance. Even though he saw his body that was 100 and deadness of Sarah's womb, Abraham did not stagger at the promise. Meant that Abraham was hearing with the inner ear. The reason why Abraham was steady was that he put the word on his own lips. That's why I said, this is the covenant that I have made. My spirit have I placed upon thee, and my words have I put on your lips. In fact, what the angel said to Mary, when he said, with God nothing shall be impossible. Read it in the original rendering. The translators removed it, they couldn't handle it. He said, with the spoken word on your lips, nothing shall be impossible to you. Which means, they said, Mary said, how will I conceive? He said, what the angel has told you, keep it permanently on your lips, and one day you wake up pregnant. The angel has been sent to you with the logos. Take the logos, put it on your lips. Paul said, so then, which means the people that will get results are those that are now saying it. What they have heard, they are no longer notes on their paper. They are things that they are saying. The people that will get results have taken their notes to their voice. Have taken what they have written to their voice. Have taken what they've said here to their voice. One day someone in church many years ago got a financial breakthrough. I said, how do you do it? He said, I've been listening to you for years. He said, but this time around, I said, I must change what I'm doing. He said, when you started preaching, the very things I was getting revelation from God, I wrote it down. Then I started saying those things that I had written. He said, after some time, it led to some supernatural breakthroughs. Which means, so then faith cometh by hearing. So what am I saying? Doubt comes by what? Hearing. By your words, you are ensnared. Nobody on the outside. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why when somebody says, you will fail, don't repeat it. It's when you repeat it, you establish it. It is your outer ear that heard you will fail. The minute he says it, just go quietly and say, I'm a successful person, you erase that. Are you following what I'm saying here? If somebody says to you, look, I don't like the way you look, and you feel bad, listen, that outer ear. When you repeat to somebody else and you say, this person said, then your inner ear has heard it. So what Satan is trying to do is that he knows on the outside he can't influence anything until you start saying it. So he wants you to start saying it so he can get on the inside. That's why the Bible says, with the increase of the lips shall the heart be filled. The way into your spirit there is from your own mouth. So long as you are saying the right thing, there's no force on the outside that can dominate you. If people say you will fail, the minute they finish, you say, I am a successful person. That is the end of it. Don't go and say, listen, my father said I won't make it, but I will make it. By saying my father said I won't make it, your inner ear hears, I won't make it. Do you understand it? Don't go and say, the teacher in school told me that I will never succeed in life. You are repeating it in order to hear. Paul says, so then faith cometh. So then faith cometh. It doesn't matter. That's why Jesus said, who do men say that I am? That doesn't matter. What matters is, who do you say that I am? He said, upon this rock will I build my church. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes,
so let me tell you this. When you are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, when you have that bill to pay in 6 weeks, go to God. Send, and I might hear your word concerning this. You hear the word. From that moment, never let it come out of your mouth that there's any problem with you paying that 600,000 in 6 weeks. When you are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, keep rehearsing the word of God that you know. Don't repeat the images you are seeing on the outside. Only keep repeating that word. Keep repeating that word. Keep repeating that word. Never. If people ask you, never say anything that will negate what is going into your spirit. Never say. Paul said the secret is faith comes by hearing. And he says that hearing only comes by you speaking that thing out of your lips as a person. So start saying. Just understand this. If I start saying something that is negative, I start throwing my life out of balance. Alright? But so long as I say what is solid, don't observe lying vanities and forsake the mercy of God. Fight the good fight of faith. Let me tell you, you will say it sometimes and it will enter into your spirit and you believe it's a done deal. And you go outside and you see it is not yet done. Don't repeat what happened on the outside. Stay on that faith journey. I promise you, stay on that faith journey. Number two, if you think this is how it will work, and what you thought did not come to pass, that doesn't mean what God is thinking hasn't come to pass. Are you following what I'm saying here? Keep at it. Pastor Ray Macaulay said, we believed God for a 2-acre piece of land. We confessed. He said, somebody else got the land. He said, and then as I was about to come and announce, God said, keep quiet. Even if you can't say what is right. That's what they were telling Zechariah. Even if you can't say the right thing, we'll stop you from saying the wrong thing. You will be dumb. Because if you stop saying the wrong, you'll call it. At least the way you are, you're on neutral. We'll leave the rest to us. Put him on neutral. So even if you can't say the right thing, keep quiet. Do you understand what I'm saying there? If the thing hits you so hard, go and sleep. Just don't say anything. Put the pillow on your head, sleep off. Until you recover. In the morning. Then you can start your journey. He said, he just didn't say anything. 4 weeks after, somebody called them, there's a 20-acre piece of property for less the price than the 2 acres. Then he understood. I'll close with this. Keith Moore said one day, he was believing God for something, a car. He did everything right. And he started confessing. Hear this. And while he was confessing, I want to say this to some people who might have dropped some things. He got God's word, started confessing. He said, let's assume he says, by the 30th of April, this thing will be in. Was confessing. 15th of April, he was confessing. 16th, 17th. So by the time it was 29th, he started increasing the confession. 30th. Every moment he was saying, because he had said 30th. He was saying, the clock said going, 11 p.m. He was saying, 12. He said, and he got 1 minute past 12. And his heart sank. And he dropped it. He said 2 years after, while he was in Rema Bible School, one day, Kerfagin came to teach on how he believed God for the first $1 million. And when he finished testimony, he said to God, that's what I did. Why didn't my own come? God said there was no problem. Until you stopped on the 30th. Because I did not tell you anywhere that I would do it on the 30th of April. He said, we were walking fine. The angels were walking until you stopped on the 30th. So you know what God mentioned to you? God said, hey, I just want to share something with you, God told me. He said, an orange seed produced an orange fruit. An apple seed produced an apple fruit. A word seed produced a word fruit. He said, when you plant an orange seed, when it produces a fruit, after some time, the fruit gets rotten and it drops and is destroyed. Apple seed, if you don't pick it up, it gets rotten because it's corruptible and it drops. He said, but with my word, it is incorruptible. Anything you've confessed for, even if you have not received it, it is an incorruptible fruit that is still hanging. He said, I just want to tell you that that thing you believed me for is still in the realm of the spirit. You can go back at any time and go and pick it up. So what am I saying to you? Some of you set yourselves on a faith project and you started confessing. But you attached somebody's faith to it. You attached a job to it. You attached a certain company to it. You attached a certain contract to, I will cause all grace to abound towards you, that you have insufficiency. You say when that thing happens, this contract is given, this scripture will be fulfilled. God did not put that contract with that scripture. He just gave you the scripture. If you have been saying it and you believe it, and you missed something that did not work, somebody you felt should respond did not respond, that incorruptible fruit is still there. You can go back this evening and pick it up. And still start rejoicing there. It hasn't dropped off your tree. You don't want to get to heaven and God says, well, God, why didn't you answer all those prayers? Says, check, see your tree. All the answers are there. You never went back because you felt that when this goes this way, that's the answer. And when it didn't go that way, you know, when he says, my ways are not your ways, he said, this plan that I have for you, literal English, is not what would readily occur to you in your mind. That if I give you all the options, you won't pick it. He said, so how I want to bring it will not readily occur to you. So when something is readily occurring to you, it's not God's way. When you say, I need a job and the company keeps coming, it's not, that's not what God is saying. Alright? Because if we leave it to people to choose that way, only about 5 companies, everybody will be working for those 5. God will be hearing those companies' name in heaven. Okay? But it says, this thing I have for you. Let's just rise to our feet and begin to thank God. And start thanking God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare over everybody under the sound of my voice, and I join my faith in agreement with their own this evening concerning the things that they have believed you for. From your word, Lord, I speak rain into those seeds that they have sown. I declare that it springs forth and begins to grow. I declare events begin to come out of the earth to confirm God's promises in your life. That which you are standing here today, that is uppermost in your heart, with a scripture underneath, I declare unto you that is done in the name of Jesus Christ. As the prophet looked at Hannah's lips when he was moving and told her that prayer has been answered. Every prayer that has been offered up on the basis of the word of God, I say that I join my faith with yours and declare it done in the name of Jesus. This will be a night of testimonies. Signs will come out of this, and wonders will come out of this. In Jesus' name. God bless you.
This message was brought to you by the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruit for us.